ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19. The chapter entitled is King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. Text number 1 and 2. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
अथा दीक्षिता राजा तु अथा दीक्षिता राजा तु हयमेधसतेन सा हयमेधसतेन सा ब्रह्मवर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे ब्रह्मवर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे यत्र प्राची सरस्वती यत्र प्राची सरस्वती मैत्रेय उवाच अथा दीक्षित राजा तु हयम् हयमेधसतेन सा हयमेधसतेन
सा
ब्रह्मावर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे ब्रह्मावर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे यत्र प्राची सरस्वती मैत्रेय उवाच अथा दीक्षित राजा तु हयमेधसतेन सा ब्रह्मावर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे यत्र प्राची सरस्वती मैत्रेय उवाच यथा दीक्षित राजा तु हयमेधसतेन सा ब्रह्मावर्ते मनोक्षेत्रे यत्र प्राची सरस्वती Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
The sage Maitreya said.
The sage Maitreya said.
Atha.
Atha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Adikshata.
Adikshata.
Took initiation.
Took initiation.
Raja.
Raja.
The king.
The king.
To.
To.
Then.
Then.
Haya.
Haya.
Horse.
Horse.
Medha,
Medha,
sacrifice, Satena,
Satena,
to perform 100,
to perform 100,
Sa,
Sa,
He,
He,
Brahmavarte,
Brahmavarte,
known as Brahmavarta,
known as Brahmavarta,
Manoho,
Manoho,
of Swayambhuva Manu,
of Swayambhuva Manu,
Chetre,
Chetre,
in the land.
In the land.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Where?
Where?
Prachi.
Prachi.
Eastern.
Eastern.
Saraswati.
Saraswati.
The river named Saraswati.
The river named Saraswati.
Translation of the book by Jai Grace Sri Prabhupada Sri Prabhupada
Ki
Jai. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, King Prithu initiated the performance of 100 horse sacrifice at the spot where the river Saraswati flows towards the east. This piece of land is known as Brahmavarta, and it was controlled by Swayambhuva Manu. Translation responsibly. Great sage Maitreya continued.
The great sage Maitreya continued.
My dear Vidura.
King
Prithu initiated the performance of 100 horse sacrifices. At the spot where a river Saraswati flows, towards the east. This piece of land is known as Brahmavarta. And it was controlled by Swayambhuva Manu. So there's no purport for this verse. So we'll continue with do text number 2. Tad abhipretya Bhagavan karma tisa yam atmanaha satta kratur mamarse prithur yagya mahotsavam. Translation. When the most powerful Indra, the king of heaven, saw this, he considered the fact that King Prithu was going to exceed him in fruitive activities. Thus Indra could not tolerate the great sacrificial ceremonies performed by King Prithu. Purport. In the material world, everyone who comes to enjoy himself or lorded over material nature is envious of others. This envy is also found in the personalities of the King of Heaven, Indra. As evident from the revealed scriptures, the Indra was several times envious of many persons. He was especially envious of great fruitive activities and the execution of yoga practice or siddhi. Indeed, he could not tolerate them, and he desired to break them up. He was envious due to a fear that those who perform the great sacrifice for the execution of Mr. Yoga might occupy his seat. Since no one in the material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in the material world is called Matsara, envious. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is therefore said that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely Nirmatsara, non-envious. In other words, one who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, however, if someone excels another person, the devotee who is excelled thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in devotional service. Such a non-envy is typical in Vaikuntha. However, when one is envious of the competitor, his competitor, that is material. The demigods posted in the material world are not exempt from envy. Om jnana timirantasya jnanandana salakaya chakshur unmilitam mena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stafitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tamsijivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhamitam हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते रक्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासिनी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे हुकम करोति वाचालं पंकुं न भैति गतिं यत् प्रभातमहं मन्ये So we're beginning to hear the new chapter of continual hearing of the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu. Maharaj Prithu was upset with Mother Earth that she was not producing. As a result, the citizens of his kingdom, they were emancipated or they were feeling weak. So, Maharaj Prithu, as being an incarnation, partial of the Shaktyavesha avatar, he was able to know the cause. The cause was Mother Earth was withholding produce. So the reason that Mother Earth was withholding, because we had previous to Maharaj Prithu, Maharaj Vaina was so cruel and sinful. So she withheld the power to produce the fruits, grains, and different amenities. So then Maharaj Prithu chastised Mother Earth. Mother Earth pleaded, and finally the different entities or the was granted by different personalities being as a representative, like similar to as milking cow. So here in this chapter, that's we finished that. So in this chapter now, Maharaj Prithu is performing Ashwamedha Yajna. So he has already performed 99th Ashwamedha Yajna. Now he is now in the 100th Yajna. So now, Lord Indra, who is the king of heaven, he's afraid. Why is he afraid? Because he might lose his position. Such is attachment. So, King Indra here is going to, as the story unfolds, that he will be stealing the horse. That was the 100th horse that is kept for a sacrifice. He will steal them, and as we will hear in details, that Atri Muni actually notices that Indra steals the horse. He comes in the form of sannyasi and steals the horse. And Atri Muni advises the son of Prithu Maharaj, who is the Visitaswa, to get the horse or chastise Indra. So anyway, we'll hear the details of the story. So here, a similar instance also, Indra is, does anyone remember that the another instance, the Indra steals the horse? He steals the horse from Maharaj Sagara. Maharaj, this story is found in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Maharaj, as Sukhdev Goswami describes different the dynasties of Surya Vamsa, this story comes in there. The Maharaj, but Sagara was the son of Bahuka. Bahuka lost his kingdom through his enemy. Enemy took over and lost his kingdom. So he had he had to retire. He went to forest along with his wife. In the old days, king died, and then the wives, one of the wife was pregnant. Then the sages who were in the forest advised that the wife would also become a sati, or she would go into fire at the same as the husband. But sages advised her not to, because she was pregnant. And king also had a co-wife. So when they found out one of the wife was pregnant, they gave her a poison. But however, this poison didn't act on her, and then son was born. That's why the king Sagara named Sagara. Sa means with, Agara means a poison. He was born with a poison. But however, this king didn't die. Of course, he later on becomes an emperor. Then he had two wives, Keshni and it was Sumati. From Sumati he had 60,000 sons. So as Maharaj Prithu was performing sacrifice, it was a practice at the time, Maharaj Sagara also performed a Asvamedha Yajna. Same again, he was performing a 100-year sacrifice. Here comes again the Indra and steals the horse. Of course, as we know, a story that in this particular pastime with the Maharaj Sagara, these 60,000 sons, when at this instant, Indra took the horse and put it in the ashram of Kapila Dev. Then these 60,000 sons went to look for a horse, and they found the horse at the ashram of Kapila Dev. But not recognizing the greatness of the Lord Kapila Dev, they actually attacked these. And then scolded Kapila Dev. Then, because they made offense to Kapila Dev, then the heat within their body generated so much that all these 60,000 sons were burned to ashes. Then, of course, the story unfolds that the second wife's son, who is the Asumantisa, he had a son called Anshuman. And then Anshuman went to Lord Kapila Dev, found Lord Kapila Dev, and then he prayed. And Lord Kapila Dev advised that if you want to deliver your ancestors, you need to call Mother Ganga. Ganga has to come, and then. So, of course, Anshuman prayed. He couldn't succeed. Then his son, Dilip, he couldn't also. And then finally, the Dilip's son was Bhagirath. Yeah, so Bhagirath got Mother Yanti Ganga, and the other ancestors were delivered. So, again, Lord Indra is afraid of his position. It's, of course, Indra is a very great personality, not to take it very cheaply. And some of these pastimes take place to actually teach us a lesson. These personages, I mean, Indra is the king of the heaven. And this position is given by the Supreme Personality Godhead Krishna. He has a qualification. They are qualified. They're representing the... So, they're not ordinary personalities. These pastimes, these incidents take place, so actually we learn the lesson from them. Even the great personalities like Indra can make a mistake, can be envious. So, in this particular verse, Prabhupada discusses the point about envy, being envious. What are the six enemies or vices? Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha. Yes. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. See. So, Kam is lust. Krodh is anger. Greed, envy, illusion, or attachment, or madness. So these different enemies. So this particular verse is Prabhupada mentioned the envy. Prabhupada in the very beginning he says, in this material world, and everyone who comes to enjoy himself or loaded up with the material nature is envious of others. In fact, this is our position. Because our envy, we are here in this material world. We are envious of who? Krishna. We are envious of who? Others. That brings us to this. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, just what is that thing that impels us to do or to commit sinful? What is it? What is the reason? This is in the question asked by Arjuna in the third chapter, verse 36. He says, Atha kena prayuktoyam. Prayukta means impelled. Kena means what? Papam charati purusha. That a person is impelled to do a papa. Papa means sinful activities. Anicham, he says, anicham means even though it doesn't desire to, even though it doesn't want to, and still, and there is a force called bala, eva niyojaya, means that bala or the force is telling us, what is that? In next verse, Krishna explains. Kama esa krodha esa rajoguna samudbhava mahasago mahapapma bitti enam iha bairina. Krishna declares these as a bairi. Bairi means enemy. What is it? Kama esa. The lust. Krodha esa. Anger. Where are they derived? They are coming from? How do they are manifested? Samudbhava means born. Rajo guna. Through the mode of passion. In connection. And he, what does he declare? He says, Mahasano. All devouring. It just devour you. Mahapapa means the greatest sin. Mahapapa means greatly sinful. So kama esa, krodha esa, rajaguna samudbhava. Mahasano mahapapa vidhi enam iha bairinam. These are the enemy. Krishna also, in the same chapter, explains the degrees. He gives three examples. He gives the example of just like as a fire covered by smoke, mirror covered by dust, and embryo covered by womb. There are different degrees of lust. He gives three examples. He says the fire, just as the fire is covered by a smoke, it's very it's subtle. As goes greater. The mirror is covered by dust. When the mirror is covered, you can't see yourself. And also in the third example he gives is embryo covered by womb. It's more, you can't even see it. Whereas in smoke, you can see the fire behind the smoke, but with the womb. So there are different degrees, he gives example, of lust. Again, Krishna in the second chapter also gives how they are produced. He says, krodha bhavati samoha, samoha smriti vibhrama. Smriti bhramsa buddhi nasho, buddhi nasha pranasyati. He says, from anger, krodha bhavati samoha. From anger, complete delusion arises, and from delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down again into a material pool. So there is a... So from anger, there's the different... And it says, thus, the wise living entity, pure consciousness, this is the third chapter, text number 39. It says, Abhitam jnanam etenam jnanino nitya vairinam kama rupena konteya duspurena nalena cha. Thus, the wise living entity, pure in consciousness, becomes covered by the eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like a fire. Wow. Quite heavy, isn't it? Which is true. I mean, that applies to everyone. So, lust is if we look at the example of Indra, since we're discussing about the Indra, another instance that Indra forms the victim of lust is the pastimes of Gautam Rishi and Ahilya. Ahilya was the wife of Gautam Rishi. Ahilya is the daughter of Lord Brahma. So she's exclusively very, very, very beautiful. Very beautiful lady. When Lord Indra sees her in the hermitage, he just infatuates him with the lust again. So while Gautam Rishi was gone to bathe, he comes in the form, he disguises himself as Gautam Rishi, says Gautam, and he comes and approaches the Ahilya. Then of course they fall down. When Gautam Rishi comes back and he recognizes what had happened through his mystic power, then Indra, he chastises Indra, he in fact curses Indra. That because he's so lusty, he has been he curses that he will have a eyes. In fact, not an eyes actually. They said initially he had all over his body, the gentle of the female. Because it was embarrassing, and then Lord Indra had to go and take, he took a bath in the river, and then actually they turned into eyes. So that's why Lord Indra was actually cursed to have eyes all over his body. And so you see some of the paintings in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Lord Indra was having eyes as a curse because of his lust. And of course, Ahilya was also cursed to be a stone because she did not resist, knowing that this was not actually her husband. So she was also cursed to become a stone. Of course, the Gautam Rishi gives her benediction that she will be delivered by the touch of the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra when he comes into a forest. That's the pastime. That's narrated in the Ramayana. So again, this Indra being envious or being attached to his power, he could do anything. Another pastime that also we find in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Indra sends Kamadev to attack who? Narayana. Yeah. Again, so he's afraid because why? We're so attached. Even Lord Indra is to the point so attached to his position that thinking, why is he sent the Cupid or Kamadev to attack Narayana Rishi, because Narayana Rishi was doing tapasya. To become an Indra, there's few ways it can be done. To become an Indra, one has to perform 100 horse sacrifices as prescribed in the Vedic literature scriptures. So, as we heard, Maharaj Sagara, Maharaj Prithu, they were performing these yajnas. So Indra got envious because they would take my position. So again, he sends Kamadev to attack Narayana Rishi. In that pastime, Narayana Rishi he sends the Cupid as well as the lot of beautiful apsaras. But in that pastime, Lord Narayana Rishi themselves actually manifested thousands of their, even hundreds of times of more beautiful apsaras, or the damsels, that they were completely bewildered. So of course, Narayana Rishi gives them one of the apsaras to take with them. You take. I've got more. If I wanted to enjoy, I have more beautiful ladies than what you have got here. Huh? So in that pastime, one of the apsara actually he gives as a gift. So that is Urvasi. Urvasi is the she was produced by through the Narayana Rishi, and see, of course, there's a whole pastimes, different pastimes that takes place. So, falls into victim of attachment, Matsara. Like that, Vishwamitra's pastimes, Mune Menaka, again, similar, he's afraid to lose his position. So, like that, so many instances. However, our Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says in his prayer to Vaishnava, Ohi Vaishnava Thakur, Krishna, could you give me a song book? Yes, he prays to the Vaishnava and says, these vices or enemies How can I control? What do I do? He says, this is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Ohe Vaishnava Thakura song. He says, listen, Chaya Vega Domi. He describes as Chaya Vega. Vega means a force or urge. Six. Chaya means six. What is he praying? To let it overcome. Six urges. Those who are speech, urge to speak. Even Sura Rupa, this is actually from Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. Vacho Begam, Manasakuroda Begam, Jivha Begam, Udarapasta Begam. Vacho Begam, urge to speak, speech, that we need to control. It says to control, Domi, Chaya Bega Domi, Chaya Dosa Sodis. So, Chaya Begas are speech, the urge to speak, urge of anger, actions of anger. Vacho Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega. So Manasa, mind, Krodha, anger, Jivha, tongue, Udara, Eli, Upasana. Genital lust again. He says we should control these six urges. Urge to speak, anger, mind, eating or overeating, tongue, belly and genital. And six faults, chaya dosa shodhi, purify the six faults we have. What are the six faults, he says? The six faults are overeating or collecting. Again, atyahara, daya sastra, prajato, nimakraha, tanasarupsalolimcha, sadhi bhakti, pranasati. Atyahara, overeating or over collecting. So, six faults are overeating or over collecting or over-indulging, atyahara prayasa. Atyahara means to overeat. Prayasa, over-indulging for mundane things which is not beyond you. Just endeavoring so much. Unnecessary talking, prajalpa. Talking about mundane affairs. Being too attached to niyamagraha, following attached to or being over attached or no attachment of following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Too attached, too also no good, and not following also no good. And associating with the worldly minded person. And lusting after mundane achievements. Six faults we should give up. And he said that these are twelve negative, and then there's another, it's a positive one. So he says, Chaya Satsanga, the positive ones. What are they? Six good qualities of enthusiasm, patience, confidence, determination to perform activities favorable to a devotional service, the resolution to abandon the association of non-devotees, the discipline required to always follow the footsteps of previous acharyas. These are the six positive things. Chaya Vega Domi, Chaya Dosa Sodhi, Chaya Guna Deho Dase. छाया सत्संगा देहोए आमारा बोशिची संगेरा आसे। प्लीज So anyways, so these are the different enemies and some other. So we should be endeavoring to develop our enemies we should not be following. Lust, anger, greed. As a result here we see even the great personalities, they can become a victim of these enemies. And when one becomes a devotee or becomes a it's easy to overcome these, or these qualities will become. We have seen Maharaj Amrish, Maharaj Yudhisthira, they were also a royal personality. Even Maharaj Prithu, they are great personalities. They have led by these examples. They have full control of these different enemies. So, so here the lesson is that we should avoid being envious to others. This is what we learn from this particular verse. The story unfolds, there's so much details which we just described. So it's time. So I would like to end here. I'd like to ask for any questions or comments.
About Indra we were discussing. So Indra became a pig also. You want to tell us the story? How you
Indra's pastime today. As I understand, Mahatma Prabhu's question, those who are hearing online, Mahatma Prabhu's question is that Indra also actually was a curse to become a pig. As I understand, this curse was first by Narad Muni. I wanted to say this again. I can't recall the clip. Yes, he was lusting over some, and then he was cursed by his sages to become a pig. Exact instance I can't recall right now. Then he, of course, becomes a pig for some time, and
Lord Brahma comes.
Yeah, even Lord Brahma or Narada Muni comes to him, said, "Hey, you're a king of heaven, what are you doing in the form of Indra?" He said, No, go, I'm enjoying with my piglets, my wives and everything, I'm happy here. And that's just to show us that, yes, how powerful the Maya, the illusory energy is, that even if you're a king of heaven, you can be taken over by these enemies. Yes, Rupa.
In this story and pastime, we talk about 99 yakyas and then 100 yakyas was destroyed. So in our day-to-day thing, our congregation Prabhu is doing more than 100 yakyas so far. And in our Mayapur, we are doing yakya every day, so we are doing 300 yakyas, more than 300 every year. So what do we do with this thing?
So those who are hearing online, the question from the Guru is that we hear these great kings performed over 99 Aswamedha Yagyas in our ISKCON world, and Gangesha Prabhu, for example, he has performed more than 100 Yagyas. In Mayapur, again, there's so many Yagyas are taking place. So the question is, what's the result? Is that what the question is, Guru?
Yeah, and what do we do with these envious people who are envious about our yagyas?
Yeah. Of course, the yagyas are two types. One type is to you perform a yagya to get something for yourself. yajnas performed by in our movement, it is mostly to please the Lord, not wanting for something for ourselves. Say, my dear Lord, please accept this yajna as my devotional service, and please engage us in your service. That is the mode of the devotee who are performing yajna in our movement. These things, these yajnas are prescribed in the Vedic scriptures to perform. Yes, we have to. So one can perform one to get a material, to gain a material benefit, or you can sacrifice that material for the pleasure of the Lord. So the yajnas done in the movement is for the pleasure of the Lord, not for our personal pleasure. As I understand, I'm too great.
Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. The question is that over and over, we see the Bhagavatam, the example of Lord Indra is cited in various pastimes. The question is that, up to my understanding, Lord Indra is actually a ghost and not that. So, is that various pastimes done by one living entity or different living entities occupying the ghost of Lord Indra at different times? And so is there something wrong with that ghost? Is that
So the question is that we hear so many different instances of Lord Indra being performing the activities which are not, doesn't seem to be good. Is that one particular Indra that is the issue, or is that that post of Indra itself isn't a problem? It's a very good question. What I understand, these pastimes, what we are hearing is this is my understanding, is this particular Indra which we currently is, that is the person who is actually, so it's a person that is doing that, it's not the post. Post is a pure. Post is not, doesn't do anything. So the person who sits on the that post can be victimized by these different enemies, vices. So I understand it's a person, not a post. This post also we understand when there is not a qualified person to take this post, Lord Himself takes the position of Indra, Brahma, so on and so forth, and acts on that role. So the post is not to be, say it's just an individual person that has got a different issues, that I understand. Yes, ma'am.
Just
I
had a meditation about
Lord
when
you can
pass.
Hey, speak up a little bit.
I did a meditation about the when you were talking about this jealousy mainly, and I was thinking how if we want to be with Krishna, if we want to be devotees with Krishna and spiritual goals, we have to give up envy. We can see that Indra is also devotee of the Lord, but because of the envy, he is still in material world. So if we want to be really with Krishna, we have to give up jealousy. Sometimes we think we depend on other people, we depend on mercy of the Guru, we depend on mercy of this one, we depend on mercy of that one, but it's actually we need to realize we need to clear our jealousy, because the jealousy is the only thing which is the cause for our bondage. And I heard Prabhupada saying, if you want to be liberated and free, it's question of jealousy. If you will, you are without jealousy. If you want to be bound, you are jealous. So if we suffer dualities, I hate, I love, I don't like this one, I don't like that one, that means we need to work on ourselves, and it's never someone else's. You know, we are responsible for ourselves, for our thoughts, for our feelings, the way we think and the way we feel. And the other realization I had, I please correct me if I'm wrong, I was thinking when Niyamadraka, because sometimes it's not quite clear what Niyamadraka means. And I thought of Daksha, you know, when he was performing sacrifices, he was so much attached to the rules, regulations, this and that, and he actually didn't see, he couldn't see because of this attachment to the rules and regulations, he couldn't see the transcendental position of other people, and he couldn't see, he was thinking that the qualities in mode of goodness, and if this is dangerous for us, how the mode of goodness binds us. We start to value knowledge, we start to value cleanliness, we start to value external things instead of love. Love means you see everything differently through love. When you see differently through material consciousness, you see it like Daksha sees it, in material terms. He mistook Lord Shiva to be not so elevated person because he thought he's not clean, he associates with ghosts, he you know, all this, he was seeing material modes of material nature, he didn't see through the eyes of God. And this is attachment to the rules and regulations. He was so attached, he was thinking his success in life depends on following rules and regulations, but no, we need to see the things from the position of love.
Yes, as and those who are hearing online, the Mataji is saying that we need to give up our envious nature or jealousy to others if we wish to go back home, back to Godhead.
For good.
Because it does, this is one of the things that keeps us binding so strongly in this world. Lust, envy, greed, pride. Envy is one of the... In fact, as I mentioned in the beginning of my presentation, that this is what is we are here because we envy ourselves. So we have to give up. And second point, Mataji mentioned, and that about the point of Niyama Agraha, Niyama Agraha, there's two types. Rupa Goswami went in the position which is, one is agraha means not following the injunctions or the rules and regulations mentioned in the, not following at all. Other one is overly attached to follow every single rules, just overly attached. Okay, I have to do this way, I have to sit this way, I have to eat this way, I have to take bath at the certain time, I have to. It just, there's whole, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures. You have to go according to time, place, and circumstances. There's so many rules that's. So one is overly attached, other one is not at all. But we have to follow what actually our, as per our time, place, and circumstances. And also according to the acharyas that's given us for the particular time and era, we follow those rules and regulations. Yes,
Guru. Well, as I understood from the class, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So when we have given this authority or some sort of, you know, power over people, how do we remain, you know, not being attached to the position or try to think that people are behind your position, and how to control our own.
Very good question. Question is that power corrupts. We have absolute power. We can see the example of Indra or different demigods. They are in a high position of power. Even in this material world, we can see our politicians and different leaders, different positions, no matter what. As soon as you have a control of power, it corrupts. It gives a... it just... So the question is, how do we overcome this lording over mentality? Is that right? Yes, it is difficult. It's hard. Power corrupts. Power has there's so much attachment is there once you're in the power, position of power, that, you know, you could, there's so many instances, people just kill, murder, do this, that, other, anything to keep me in a position. That's very difficult. understand, if you are in the power, if you are in the position, that position is for a particular purpose. Purpose, certain duties. You are given a certain position. Maharaj Yudhishthira also had a power. Maharaj Ambarish also had a power. They were absolute. But the mentality they used is, this is not for me. I am not the person who is actually doing it. I am doing it for the Supreme Personality God. I am doing it for the Lord. This is given me as a service. This is my service to do it. If we have that kind of mentality, that mentality, you can continue to do it. When the time comes, you can easily give up. When the time was come for Maharaj Yudhishthira to give up the whole kingdom, just overnight, see, done. Everything just handed over to Maharaj Pariksit and gone. It doesn't begin, because they had this serving mentality. They were serving, they are doing a duty. If the power or position you are in, if you take it as your service and duty for others, then easy to give up.
Humility,
yes. It's not for me. It's not me. Position, power, everything is for the service. You are given a, because you have certain skills and intellect. That is utilized. It can be used, yes. But the mentality has to be that it's not for me.
Another issue which is,
humility. Yeah. It's I'm doing it for the Lord, for the devotees, for the. Yes, Rupa.
We talked about giving up Matsa, the envy, and the process of doing it is to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Am I correct?
Yes. In fact, Sri Prabhupada makes that point in a purport. The question is that to become a nirmatsara, or the completely non-envious, what is the process in Prabhupada mentioned? In Srimad Bhagavatam, what it says? Since no one is in this material world can tolerate another's advancement, everyone in the material world is called matsara or envious. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is therefore said Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely nirmatsara or non-envious. So yes, one of the secret is to become a non-envious, is to listen and study Srimad Bhagavatam. That will purify us. The envious nature we have. It is one of ways to purify. We learn from these different pastimes and activities. Bhagavatam itself isn't purification. It's the purity that purifies us.
Amala.
Yes. Completely pure. Amala. Mala means impure. A means completely without. So that itself would be a purify the consciousness. Yes, last month. Mataji is mentioning that in order to overcome the enviousness, that we need to also learn how to recognize these envies within us. Then only we can be able to overcome this. All right. Yes.
Last year in the cricket world, a very big controversy happened, where the Australian team was caught red-handed cheating. The captain, the vice captain, got a new player. He used sandpaper because the mood was to win at all cost.
Yes.
And in the absence of any higher values, you know, that desire to be seen as the perfect, you know, they were not willing to invest more in their competence, but rather they took the path of cheating to maintain their position that they once held.
Yes.
So in the material sphere, it seems that the solution would be to bring yourself to a competitive position. Raise your standards, raise your skills, raise your experience, your knowledge. In the sphere of spirituality, Krishna consciousness, it's actually eradicating it completely by working on internal gain rather than external achievements.
Yes, yes.
Because that's what's happening in Indra's life again and again, as you narrated so many different pastimes. He's always looking at external achievements, and driven by them, he's willing to compromise all these things. He can't even see that what he's doing is, because the goal, the vision is external achievements rather than internal achievements.
Yes. Yeah, it's very right. Yeah.
I mean,
Prabhu's, I mean, give an example of how it, by any means, hook or crook, winner or loser. If I have to temper the bow, Nikhil Kishore, for example, Prabhu gave an example, then I'll do it because I want to win. The whole mood and motive was, how can I load her, how can I win? I am the, me. Again, what it comes boils down to, me and mine. Aham ameti, my body, me. All boils down, it's all temporary. But it just, the impelling is so great that you just do anything to cheat, lie, deceit. These are the things. Yeah, and Prabhu mentioned that to overcome this, yes, we have to work on our own self, work within it. First, we need to. Very first principle is to say, okay, I'm not this body, anything. Otherwise, we will not go, and we will not even learn the ABC of spirituality unless we have to understand that we are not this body, we are actually a soul within it.
By Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Muhammad.
Yes. So unless we come to that understanding, it's just not very close. Because all these things mostly takes place because of the bodily identification. Me and mine. Aham ameti. Then it's all.
Krishna began Bhagavad Gita saying I'm not the body.
Yes.
He has spoken about this in 16th chapter, 14th chapter, but the initial verses is saying I'm not the body.
Yes. Right in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Very actually, in fact, very second or third verse from Krishna says, you're not the body, you're the spiritual. When we act on the platform of being a spiritual soul, then the spirituality begins. Doesn't end there, it begins. As long as we identify ourselves with the body, mind, intelligence, force, ego, calm, cool, low, moha, everything will attack you. And all our actions and everything is just based on body.
Burdens.
I think we should end. Okay.
I just thought when you ask how to be in position and how to act up on power, like Lord Krishna, he gave good example with Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita. He explained to him, this needs to be done because of this, this, and this, and this. And then on the end he said, you want to do it or not? And then Arjuna said, yes, now my illusion is dispelled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to, when we act with other people, to understand where they're coming from and what's blocking them, and then explain, you need this need to be done because of this, and leave up to that because otherwise it's forcing you.
Yes, whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken because Arjuna was still in the bodily platform. Then Krishna at the end asked him, you still? And Arjuna says, well, I'm now learned the ABC. I am not this body. Karise vachanam dava. I will follow your instructions. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ti Jai Prabhupada Ti Jai Tai Gaur Vrimanam.